السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Alhamdulillah, we gathered here in the masjid, and one of the fadail of gathering in the masjid to learn or teach. The Prophet ﷺ tells us, he tells us in a hadith saying to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radhiallahu anhu, that if you learn one ayah of the Quran, it's better for you than praying 100 rakah of salah. And if you learn one bab, one chapter of ilm, it's better for you than reading 1,000 rakah of salah. And the Prophet says, one of the things that's specifically mentioned in this hadith is that if you act upon that knowledge or you don't. So just the act of seeking the knowledge is better than 1,000 rak'ah of salah. And imagine if you implement that knowledge, how much reward you're going to get. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that the one who goes to the masjid with the intention to learn or to teach knowledge and nothing else, then that person will get the reward of kana lahu kaji hajin taman hajjata. That person will get the reward of a complete hajj. So just going to the masjid and with the intention of learning something or teaching something, inshallah ta'ala, will get the reward of a complete hajj. And inshallah, one of the things I just want to clear up before we start, inshallah, we're going to be starting the study of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah. It's going to be continuing on every Monday. Can the brothers come inside, please? The ones that are outside? Jazakallah khair. All the youngsters, if you can come inside, please. Inshallah. So inshallah, we're going to be doing the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the seerah of the best of all mankind, Khatib al-Nabiyyin, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this will continue inshallah on Mondays after Isha. Right now, next week is going to be changing 1 hour back. So we'll be doing Isha at 7:30, and then we'll be having the program inshallah every week. Now, one of the things to understand before we start is that we're going to be saying the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot. Okay, when we're talking about his life, we're going to be talking and repeating his name sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot. And what is the command of saying durood? So we know that one of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was ascending the minbar, so as he ascended one step, he says ameen. Then he ascends another step, he says ameen, and then a third step, he says ameen. Now the sahaba were amazed by this, and they said that after he was done with the khutbah, after he's done with the speech, the Prophet ﷺ descended and they all gathered around him. They said, "We saw something different today. We saw something strange today." And Rasulullah ﷺ asked them, "What is that?" They said that you said Ameen every time you took a step. And the Prophet ﷺ said that every time I took a step, Jibreel alayhi salam came and he made a dua. Okay, or baddua you could say. A dua against, he said, number one, he said that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and curse be upon the person. May that person be far from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who finds Ramadan comes and goes, and that person is not forgiven. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Qul ameen, faqult ameen." Say ameen, then I said ameen. The second step, Jibreel alayhi salam comes again, and he says that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and punishment and he be far removed from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who finds one of his parents or two of them and does not attain paradise through them. Say Ameen, he said Ameen. And then the third time, the third step, he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove that person from his mercy, the one who hears your name and does not send salutations upon you. Qul Ameen, faqult Ameen. So say Ameen, he said Ameen. So one of the things is that we understand from this is saying durood, sending durood and salam on the Prophet ﷺ is something very necessary every time we hear his name. And the person is very greedy or bakhil, the one who does not send salutations on the Prophet ﷺ. After understanding all the sacrifices that he did for us, we should at least, the least we can do is send salutations upon him when we hear his name. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that man salla alayya wahida, the one who sends one salutation of man upon me, Allah subhanahu wa sallallahu alayhi ashra, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the person who sends one blessings and salutations on the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu himself sends blessings and salutations on that person. So what is the command now whenever we hear the Prophet ﷺ's name? The ulama say it's wajib on the first instance, the first occurrence, and then after that you don't have to say it, but the more we say it, the more ajr we get, inshallah, the more we'll get closer to the Prophet ﷺ and attain his shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. Now what is the meaning of seerah? The word seerah comes from sara yasiru sayran or siratan, which means a path, walking on a path. Yasir means walking. So walking on a path. And the meaning of this is basically the path of the Prophet ﷺ. And another there's different meanings of the word seerah. For example, it could be the behavior of a person. It could be the life of a person. For example, the biography of a person. So these different meanings, but basically all, you know, they're all close in meaning. Meaning a path someone walked upon. And we as Muslims need to find that path and try to tread that same path, and we inshallah attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, attain Jannah inshallah. Now why do we study seerah? Why do we study history? Now there's a lot of different reasons inshallah. We'll just go over a few of them. For example, the importance of learning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the history repeats itself. تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that these days, they change. The people, so we have, for example, one party that's ruling, and then another day someone else comes. And then it keeps on changing. So history repeats itself. History changes. So one of the most important factors of learning history is that we as Muslims, if we study the past, we can reflect upon the future. We can fix our future. We can save ourselves from making the mistakes that the people of the past had made. So that's one of the reasons. Also the ulama, they say at-tariq huwa dhakiratul ummah, that this tariq, history, is the dhakira. It's like a reminder that kickstarts our memory. So for example, if someone has amnesia, someone falls, hits their head, they have amnesia, they're 40, 50 years old, they don't remember who they are, they don't remember their relatives, they don't remember anybody. Now one of the things they need to do is go around family members, look at old photos, look at these things to kickstart their memory. And this tariq is like that. It makes a person go back to their path. Someone who has lost the way, that person can go and go back to that path by studying history, inshallah ta'ala. And this is one of the things that if we look at as Muslims, look at the past, look at the Prophet ﷺ, look at his life and the life of the Sahaba around him. And we can learn from that inshallah ta'ala, and we can implement that in our lives. Now one of the things is that, like I just mentioned, if someone forgets their way, like we as Muslims, we look at the situation in the Ummah today, we have forgot our path. We have forgot our history. We forgot who we are. We forgot that we're the Ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And we see that how we're wandering like people, you know, blind people in the desert, or blind people walking around in the streets, don't know where to go. We don't know where we're just wandering around. And this is one of the things that we need to learn, our tariq, we need to learn our seerah, learn the history of Islam and who we are, so we can go back to that, inshallah ta'ala. And this is one of the things that the enemies of Islam have done. It's just like we have chemical warfare, we have tactical warfare, we have military warfare, all different types of warfare. One of the things they used, and they used it quite well to attack the Muslims, is historical warfare. And this continues until today. We see just recently, I don't know if you've heard the news, in Saudi Arabia they've changed the books of history to take out the name of Khilafah. They have the Ottoman Khilafa. It's been written that this is the Ottoman Khilafah. Now they took out the word Khilafah, and they call them the invading army. And you see, this is again a tactic from the non-Muslims to teach, to get us off the path. If we get so confused of where we came from, we don't know where we're going. We don't know who to follow. We don't know how to set our path and get back to the right path. Allama Sakhawi rahimahullah, he writes a book, and in this book, in one of the beginning chapters, He says it's wajib. It's wajib, it's obligatory for a person to learn seerah, to learn tariq. So we see that, you know, the importance of this. Ali ibn Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, this is the grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, he says that we used to learn seerah just like we used to learn the Quran. So just like any one of us would memorize and learn a surah from the Quran, we'd memorize the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that verily for you in the Prophet ﷺ is a beautiful example. And this beautiful example, this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for us so we can emulate it. Not so that we can just hear about it and, you know, read about it and just put the book back on the shelf, but we learn it, implement it, practice it, and we teach it to others, inshallah ta'ala. Also, the ulama tell us that if you want to learn the Qur'an itself, if you want to understand the Qur'an itself, we have to learn seerah. You have to learn the sunnah. You know, just like the ayat, there's asbab al-nuzul. There's reasons why it was revealed. So you cannot fully understand the tafsir of an ayah until you go back to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, until you go back to the asbab al-nuzul, and understand what's the story behind this ayah being revealed. Remember, the Qur'an was not just haphazardly revealed. The Qur'an was actually in one night, in Laylatul Qadr, it was revealed to the first heaven, and then over a period of 23 years, it was revealed when the time necessitated. When the time was right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat. So something would happen, and then ayat would be revealed. So we learn that we need to learn why those ayahs were revealed. And we cannot find that unless we study the sunnah of the Prophet, the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his khuluq, his akhlaq, the way his mannerisms. Aisha radhiallahu anha, she was asked by a sahabi by the name of Sa'd ibn Amir radhiallahu anha. He came to Medina Munawwara. And this is after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he asked Aisha radhiallahu anha, he says, how was the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How was his mannerisms? She asked him a question. She says, alasta taqra Quran? Do you not read the Quran? He said, yes, I do, bala, I read the Quran. She says, then look at the Quran. Kana khuluquhu al-Quran. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his akhlaq, his mannerisms, everything about him, he was like a walking Qur'an. So if we learn the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, we will understand the Qur'an, inshallah ta'ala. And we will be able to implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this great Qur'an that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to us, we'll be able to implement that, inshallah ta'ala. Another benefit of learning the seerah is increasing in the love, increasing our love for the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, "La yu'minu ahdukum hatta akuna ahabba ilay min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in." Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you, none of you can become a true believer until you love me, meaning loving the Prophet ﷺ, more than his father, more than his son, and more than all of mankind. And one of the narrations, Umar ibn Khattab, he came to the Prophet ﷺ. He says, Ya Rasulullah, that I love you more than my father. I love you more than everyone except myself. Illa nafsi. Except myself. Rasulullah tells him, La ya Umar, that's not enough. So Umar ibn Khattab says, okay, let me think about this. So he goes and does mujahadatul nafs. He starts to talk to himself and starts to fight his inner self. And he comes back to the Prophet. He says, Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than everybody, everyone, all of mankind, including myself. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-An, Al-An. Now you have become a true mu'min. Now you have become a true believer. If we look at the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, and we'll inshallah go with this, inshallah, if Allah gives us tawfiq and we get to that. This is like a large mountain we're trying to climb, but we'll take it step by step, inshallah. And we look at the seerah of the Prophet in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. There was a man by the name of Urwa ibn Mas'ud al-Thaqafi radhiallahu anhu. He later became Muslim. At that time, he was not Muslim. He was from Banu Thaqif, from Ta'if. And he came to observe the Muslims and see if he can talk and negotiate something. So as he came into the camp of the Prophet and the Sahaba when they were in Hudaybiyah, he observed something that was just unreal to him. It was amazing to him. And when he went back to the Meccans, he went back to the pagans of Mecca, he told them, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever that man tells you. And they're like, what? What are you talking about? Why would you say this? He says, I have visited the kings of Persia, the Kisra of Persia. I have visited the courts of Rome. I have visited all these different places, and I haven't seen people, subjects, love their king like the companions loved the Prophet ﷺ. That when he does wudu, they fight over the drops of wudu that are coming off his blessed hands and feet, so they can put it on their hands and they could put it on their face. And those who are not able to catch that water, they would go to those Sahaba that did, and they would rub their hands and they would anoint their faces, anoint their bodies with whatever's left of that water. So observing this, he said that I haven't seen anybody love the Prophet ﷺ like the Sahaba loved the Prophet ﷺ. So why did they love him so much? Because they knew him. They knew him, they saw him, they lived with him. They knew how he was in and out. We look at the story of Zayd ibn Haritha. Zayd, before he was known as Zayd ibn Haritha, he was known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. Before that he was known as Zayd, the slave of Muhammad ﷺ. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he treated him like his own son. He grew up in the house of the Prophet ﷺ. Remember, Zayd was a slave. He was brought in, he was kidnapped from his hometown, and he was brought into Mecca as a slave, sold as a slave, and then eventually he became the milkiyah of the Prophet ﷺ. Now Rasulullah ﷺ is owning the slave, and he's treating him like his own son. And eventually Zayd's father and uncle, they catch up. They're finding and looking for him for years. And they eventually catch up, they find him in Mecca. They come to Makkah Mukarramah, they go to the Prophet ﷺ, they ask him, they said that I'm the real father of Zayd, and this is unfortunate, this is what happened, he was kidnapped, so we want to buy his freedom from you. Just tell us whatever you want, we'll give it to you. Rasulullah ﷺ says, no, I don't want your money. He says to them that you can take him for free, but on one condition, if he chooses to go with you. Now the father being confident, like, why would my son want to stay here? You know, why would he want to stay as a slave here? But they go and they ask Zayd, radhiallahu anhu, that do you want to stay or do you want to go back with us? And Zayd, radhiallahu anhu, says, father, sorry, I don't want to go back with you. I want to stay here with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see the intense love that he had. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at that moment, he freed him. He said, he is no longer my slave, but he is my son, my adopted son. And then he became known as Zayd ibn Muhammad. And then later on, when the ayah came down, Zayd ibn Haritha radhiallahu anhu. Now, someone might say, you know, that's a Sahaba. They saw him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, outside his home. And, you know, we see us, ourselves, we see all around us, people who are two-faced. When they leave their homes, they have one face. And when they go back in their homes and their families, they have another face. So say, na'udhu billah, for example, if someone says, that was a Sahaba, they saw the Prophet ﷺ face outside, but inside he was different. But you look at the Prophet ﷺ's household, his own wife, and look at our wives. If someone asks our wives, you know, can you name some things that are wrong with your husband? They have a long list. Right? They'll tell you a long list. This my husband does this, 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 this. But Aisha radhiallahu anha, Habiba radhiallahu anha, Zainab radhiallahu anha, you look at the Safiya radhiallahu anha, all the sahabiyat, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you ask them, they only increase in love with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They only say good things about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now that was Aisha and that was the sahabiyat, their wives, maybe they came to know him later on. They only met him, there was 9 of them, maybe they didn't really see him as much. Let's look at the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima bint Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fatima radhiallahu anha, as she's standing at the deathbed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls her to come close. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whispers in her ear, and Fatima radhiallahu anha starts to cry. Now Aisha radhiallahu anha, she's watching this. She's the one narrating this hadith. She's watching all this. And Fatima, as she steps back, she's crying. Rasulullah tells her, come forward again. She comes forward, he whispers something again in her ear, and she starts to smile, she starts to laugh. Now Aisha, being Aisha, being a sahabiya, being like she was, thirsty for knowledge, she's not being nosy, she asks Fatima, what is it that he said to you? She says, sorry, it's a secret between father and daughter, I can't tell you. So Aisha waits. She's like, okay, what is it? And she keeps on bugging her. What is this? What did the Prophet ﷺ say to her? That she just, emotions changed like this. From one second she's crying, and another she's laughing. Now after the Prophet ﷺ passes away, she goes to Fatima radhiallahu anha again and asks her, that what is it that the Prophet ﷺ said to you? So Fatima radhiallahu anha says that the first time when he called me forward, he says that I, your father, will die from this illness. Meaning I'm on my deathbed and I will die from this illness. So I started to cry. And then the second time he whispered in my ear, he said that you will be the first one to join me. So she started to laugh and started to smile. And just look at the intense love that she had for her father. That she's being told that she's going to be dying soon. We'd be like, what? I'm going to die? You know, people are like, I have all these things to do. I'm young. How can I die? But she was happy. Why? Because she's going to join her father. She's going to be the first from the family to join the Prophet ﷺ. And she actually died, radhiallahu anha, 6 months after the Prophet ﷺ. So you see this intense love that all the Sahaba had. Why? Because they knew him. They knew his seerah, they knew his life in and out, and that's only increased them in the love of the Prophet ﷺ. So if we, inshallah ta'ala, learn the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, we learn about his life, we will increase in the love of the Prophet ﷺ. And like the Prophet ﷺ said, that al-maru ma'a man ahab, that the person will be in Jannah with the one they love. So if we love the Prophet ﷺ, we will be with him inshallah ta'ala in the highest parts of Jannah, in Jannat al-Firdaus inshallah ta'ala. Another thing we see from this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet ﷺ, qul, say to them, teach them, tell them that if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then do one thing. Prove your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing one thing, and that is ittiba' sunnah. Following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you do this, you will gain two things. Number one, you'll get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't need anything else. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. So we see this immense reward by following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Sahaba, by knowing the life of the Prophet ﷺ and knowing the importance of sunnah, they understood this. And I'll end this with a story. One of the Sahaba was going in one of the courts. They were invited in this large hall at this banquet. And one of the Sahaba there, as he's eating, he accidentally drops one of the nawalas, you could say, or one of the piece of food, morsels of food, he drops it, and as it drops on the dasturkhan or on the table, he picks it up, cleans it off, puts it in his mouth. Another sahabi sitting next to him, he nudges him, he's like, what are you doing? You know, we're here in front of the kings and these viziers and these big shots. How are you picking up food from the table and putting it in your mouth? What are they going to think about you? And this sahabi responds by saying to him, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَاؤُلَى الْحُمَقَى. That should I leave the sunnah of my habib, of my beloved, the Prophet ﷺ, for these idiots? I don't care about these idiots. I care about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So inshallah ta'ala, Allah give us a tawfiq. Inshallah, we're going on this journey to climb this huge mountain. Step by step, inshallah, we'll climb it. And inshallah ta'ala, will increase in the love of the Prophet and get closer to him and be with him in the Day of Judgment and in Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun alayhi wa sallam.